Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right, good morning, everyone. I feel so privileged to be able to speak to you today on the topic of community. While preparing for this message, it suddenly dawned on me that this might be one of the last times I'll be speaking to you from up here, because as I think pretty much everybody knows already that my family will be repatriated to America in about 3 or 4 months. So it's just been such an honor to serve the church. Like Pastor Bruce was just saying, I can't believe we actually had years of doing that, and just preparing this message was kind of stressful for me, actually. And just I was telling Jalen this morning, this is like my 65th time preaching at this church. So it's like I actually keep count. And I'm like, God, you know, I don't know how many more I have to go. But you guys ever see that video that went viral that says, when you think of Taiwan, I think it's like, what's that actor's name? Joseph Gordon-Levitt or whatever his name is. And he has that viral video. So when my family, when we think of Taiwan, we're going to miss the delicious food, the amazing hiking trails, the hot springs, just so many wonderful things about this nation. But by far, what we're going to miss the most is this community. And we're going to miss you guys tremendously. And all that got very real to me this past week because I started interviewing for my successor in my corporate role based in Shanghai. But I was hours and hours of meeting these guys and evaluating them and talking to my boss. So we're going to make a decision very soon on that. And then after cleaning out some files, I saw this little note to myself that I had jotted about 3 years ago in 2022. Jake, my oldest, to high school, Joshua to middle school, and Ava to first grade. So I had written, stay in Taiwan until June 2022. Don't show this to Caleb because he's missing. But it's only because he's still in elementary. So, and I remember years back, before we were sent out here to Taiwan, we were talking about how 7 years is the max because Jalen has to resume her career. And sure enough, we're about 3-4 months shy of exactly fulfilling 7 years. So things are going according to plan on one hand, but on the other hand, we're going to miss you guys so much. There's a part of us that wishes we could just stay here forever or maybe even come back after a few years in the U.S. Yeah. But no matter what the future holds, one thing that we know is we're going to cherish these memories. We're going to be grateful for every moment that we were able to spend with you and that God has guided us each and every step of the way. And the greatest, the best is yet to come for this house. So here's my sermon outline for today. Just to give you a preview, I'm going to give you an introduction of the message and then just cover 3 points. Which is number one, why community matters. Number two, why discipleship matters. And three, why we need to commit to both community and discipleship, that they go together hand in hand. And then we're going to close out. So here's my intro, and this is actually from Pastor Bruce. So we've been on this series called Who You Follow Matters. And like Pastor Bruce was mentioning, the Russia-Ukraine war has been very heavy on many of our minds. And what that war teaches me, if anything, is how important leadership is. That it's just so preposterous that in this modern age, the whims of one crazy guy, one depraved, sick individual can adversely affect and devastate the lives of so many millions. It's really shocking. But that's how important leadership is. That's how important it is for us to adopt good leaders and pray for the leaders that we have over us. Today's theme is on the importance of community and discipleship. So I've called it called to community. And the call to discipleship is a call to fellowship with other disciples. When Jesus called his first disciples, he called Peter He called him to follow Jesus along with his brother Andrew and with their friends James and John. One of the most difficult aspects of discipleship, if we can just be really honest with ourselves, is learning to build relationships with other disciples. Sometimes it's really hard to get along with one another. But if we really want to follow Jesus, we have to follow him together with others who are following Jesus. So to summarize the series so far, discipleship is primarily about building and maintaining relationships on three levels. One is relationship with Jesus, two, relationship with unbelievers, and both of those Pastor Bruce preached about in the previous weeks, and then our theme today is on the last point, relationship with other disciples. The fact of the matter is that fellowship matters. We can't follow Jesus or make disciples outside of fellowship. So let me read to you our theme scripture for today, Matthew 4, 18 through 22. This is when Jesus called the first disciples. Verse 18, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. What you can see here is that this calling to become Jesus' disciples and follow him was given in the context of community, not just for individuals. So to be a disciple means you're going to have to walk with other people. We're going to explore later that you can't love God if you can't love your brother. The really neat thing is that in this community, we're full of people that are really wonderful to fellowship with. We're always hanging out to the wee hours of the night. And I'm starting to see that in our youth group kids, which is really exciting, that even the kids like to have sleepovers and hang out together. And a few years ago, I asked our church members, when you think of Every Nation Taipei, what are some of the words that come to mind? And I asked them to send those words to Lynn, who compiled and created this beautiful word collage. So you can see on there, just in your own words, although we've had a lot of turnover since then, what does Every Nation mean to you? What do you think of when you think of our church? And these are just really great attributes, that we're welcoming, and there's a sense of belonging, and we're encouraging. It's a culture of honor, all these things. And that, to me, is our vision. This is like the vision of what we want our community to look like. Of course, we're far from perfect. And if you're just visiting us today for the first time, we may not be the church for you. But as Pastor Bruce was saying earlier, God's presence is here. And I've felt God's presence here time after time. And we're just scratching the surface of the kind of impact that we're going to have in Taipei and Taiwan and around the world. And I believe God's blessed us because we are a community that genuinely cares and loves one another. In fact, that's what I think drew people to our church and kept people here. For years and years, we were run by volunteers mainly. Like Pastor Bruce was saying, we didn't have professional ministers leading the congregation for several years. And even before I arrived in Taiwan, we had a very strong, profound sense of community here. So many facets of the church were fine, but if you talk to people, really the sense you get is the community, the sense of family and belongingness and the care that we have for one another is what kept people coming back again and again. And sometimes I would preach like duds that didn't land anywhere close to where I wanted to go, but God still worked in spite of that because our community was so strong. And now under Pastor Bruce and Terry, we have amazing preaching and excellent worship, and sky's really the limit if we can continue to sustain that sense of community. So my next point is, why does community matter? You know, for some people, they don't really want to be a part of community. They want to keep people at arm's length, and it's because community is hard. And if you're kind of a selfish person, you don't want to share, so you just want to keep everybody at arm's length. And I understand that because I've seen that too, and it really takes a lot of compromise and sacrifice of your own interests, sometimes just to get along with people, and it's often easier to go alone. But community, like Pastor Bruce was also saying, like family was God's idea. It's his design. First of all, God is himself a triune God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is a God of relationship, so he's also calling us to be a people that walk in relationship. Community matters because God wants to bless us and the nations of the world through the context of family and community. Last summer, when we went back to Seattle for a few months, one of the great blessings was to spend time with my 87-year-old college pastor and mentor. I wonder if that dates me a bit, but I'm not quite that old. But he started ministering to us when I in his 60s. And he told me and OJ, I think Jalen was there too, when we asked him, what is your biggest takeaway in 60 years of ministry? And the first thing he said was the importance of community. And this man really lived it out. In fact, God created us to crave connection. I'm going to share with you some scientific data or research results. Scientists have found that loneliness kills, literally. Quoting Pastor David, the greatest pandemic in the world isn't COVID, but loneliness. As a modern society, we're addicted to all kinds of social media, and we think we're connected to so many people. But in fact, we're desperately lacking actual meaningful connections with one another. Do you know what's the best predictor for a long life? One researcher on a TED Talk found that the top two factors were close relationships and social integration. What that means is when it's 2 a.m. and you have a crisis, you have an emergency, do you have someone that you can turn to? Or in your everyday life, as you're going about from your home to Starbucks or to your work, are you the type of person that can say hello to people and integrate, say hello to the doorman or to your barista? The point is that we are not meant to live alone, but in community. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. These experts have done numerous studies, and they found that loneliness is worse than obesity, cancer, and even smoking several packs of cigarettes per day. The reason is because God created us to thrive in community, not on our own. Maybe you've even seen some videos of animals in the wild. When they stray away from the rest of the herd, they become very quick prey for the hunters. And it's the same with us. One of the devil's main tactics is to isolate the people of God and then to fill them with negative thoughts, even depression and loneliness and secret sins. And then when they harbor all of that to themselves, then it just breeds more loneliness. And it's a vicious cycle. And the devil thrives in that kind of method. That's really the pandemic of our time, is isolation. So what is the cure? It's been well documented. All you have to do is a quick Google search, because Jalen was asking me, where did you get this data? And there's a long-running study, actually, by Harvard University, that regular church attendance just once per week has a profound positive impact on our physical and mental health. Church attendance has even been described as a miracle drug that reduces mortality by 20 to 30%. These health benefits run across all demographics. Doesn't matter your race, gender, national origin, socioeconomic status, all those are fair game. But what's interesting to note is that these benefits only apply if you actually do go to church. If you're a Lone Ranger Christian and you stay at home and you say, yeah, I value faith, yeah, I believe, but you never go to church, then sorry, but these benefits don't apply to you. So the point is, you got to go to church. Church attendance has also been shown to increase the likelihood of a stable marriage, to elevate one's sense of meaning, and to expand one's social network. It leads to far greater charitable giving and civic engagement. In fact, among American millennials today, they found that Christian millennials give three times more to charity, both religious and non-religious, than non-Christian millennials. And the list just goes on and on of the benefits of being plugged into community. Unfortunately, in many parts of the world, church attendance is declining. And some of that is due to COVID. Some of it is just due to a different mindset, different prioritization in their own values. And so it's no wonder then that mental illness is on the rise. And so many young people feel hopelessly depressed and isolated and even suicidal. But there's hope in being connected to spiritual family. You and I are not meant to be alone. Even Jesus sent out his disciples in pairs. We journey best in community. Another point I want to make here real quick is that community is a calling. God calls us into community. See, the great news is that God didn't just create us and leave us to be orphans to fend for ourselves. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 68:6 that God sets the lonely in families. It's God himself who arranges people and sets people, places people into community. I think it's fine for people every now and then to check out other churches, or if you want to check out different small groups and you want to discern where is the right fit for me, for my family, to meet my needs. But at the end of the day, you have to stop yourself and ask God, God, who are you calling me to be a part of? Which family are you calling me to join? It has to be a spiritual decision, not just a pragmatic one. Because in Greek, the word church is ecclesia, which comes from the word kaleo. I'm not a Greek expert, but I did some research on this stuff. And it means called, okay? So church quite literally means a people that have been called by God. So you see, the church is not the stage, it's not the building, it's not even the pastor, it's you and I. We are the church, and we are the ones that are called by God to be a family together. Has God placed you here? That's such an important question. If so, then we invite you to walk with us on this amazing journey ahead that God has for us. And if you're not called to every nation, then you got to find your family and get plugged in and start serving to the best of your ability. But it's critical to understand that every one of us as followers of Christ has been called to a family. One facet of Christianity that is very important to me is that it is by far the most diverse, truly global faith in the world. I have a slide here to highlight this. Of all the major religious groups, Christians are the most evenly dispersed. You can read for yourself there that roughly equal numbers of Christians live in Europe, in Latin America, in Caribbean, and sub-Saharan Africa. And additionally, Christianity is growing the fastest in Africa, Asia, Latin America, and Oceania. Asia actually has the smallest percentage proportionally of Christians, and that's why God has us here. But even in Taiwan, Christianity is growing, and God is on the move. It's not a good thing that Christianity is declining in the West, but when we look at what God is doing in the rest of the world, it's exciting to me that the church is growing, that the church is going to prevail, and it's growing in places where people have not had the chance to hear the gospel. And we, as a church in Taipei, are a part of this story as well. Here at our church, on any given Sunday, we have about 15 to 20 different nations represented, right? And it's only in Christ that we can be totally unified with this amount of diversity, this amount of just cultural differences even. There is something about Christians loving one another in community like this that is absolutely devastating to atheism and to the devil. It's because authentic community validates who Jesus said he was to the outside world. My next point is why discipleship matters. Now that you've seen the importance of community, I'm going to say something a little bit provocative. You can see there on the screen that a community by itself without discipleship is worthless. In fact, it could be even worse than worthless. How could I say that? I'm urging you to not just settle for the community. Tim Keller put it this way. He wrote that community without mission is cancer. Think about that. I don't know exactly what he meant by it, but what I'm telling you, what I mean is that our ultimate goal is not just a social club. It's not just to have people that we get along with and enjoy spending time together with. We need community But we can't settle for that because community isn't what saves us. Instead, the purpose of the community is to point us to the one person who actually can save us, which is Jesus. Church community is not just for socialization. It can't just be about our own individual happiness, because even after we go after all of our own blessings in the context of community, we can totally miss out on the greater purposes of God. For us as an Every Nation Church, we will always strive to keep our eyes on the Great Commission. Together with our global Every Nation Church family, we are going to fulfill the Great Commission and reach every nation. This means making disciples. It doesn't mean just stopping at getting people saved and then leaving them alone, but it's to do the hard work of engaging with people's hearts and lives to transform their values into kingdom values, so they understand what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. At the end of the day, the community isn't the point. Our ministry success, growing in numbers, having good relationships even with the pastor or with your disciple, that is not the point. The point has to be Jesus, and he alone is worth following. I want to ask you, do you guys know what your purpose is in life? Don't you think it's critical for us to understand our individual purpose? Well, let me give you a hint. You go to the next slide. To understand the purposes of God in your life, you need to understand the purposes that he has for the whole world. Because God's purpose for you individually is always going to be tied to his purpose for the entire planet. One of the verses that I go to again and again is Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God has given us many amazing promises, and this is one of them, that all these things that we worry about, all the things that we concern ourselves with, will be added to you. But if we don't have God number one, but he's way down on our list, then can we actually make claim to this promise? No, of course not, right? Because Jesus said, seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness first. Have his values become your values, and then these promises are unlocked. To put God's purposes first, that's our purpose. That's your purpose and my purpose. Expanding on this just a bit, God wants us to fulfill the Great Commission, which means to take his message of hope to the whole world. There's no higher calling than that. And it doesn't mean everybody here has to be a pastor or a missionary. You can be right where you are. You can be like us. We have our own own professions in the secular world. You can be a teacher, an engineer. Wherever God has called you to be, you can serve God right there. It's that whatever God leads you to, you should never forget that higher purpose, that greater calling that he has for your life. What is the purpose of community? Our common purpose is to know God together and restore people into a right relationship with God. That's the most beautiful thing that we can do as a community. So let's live missionally with purpose. Everything is meaningless unless I'm living for eternity. And how does this happen? Again, it's primarily through discipleship. My third and final point is that we need to commit to both community and discipleship. We have to be absolutely committed to both and not just one or the other. And they both require commitment. You know, I'm sorry to say that there are no shortcuts to either community or discipleship. They both require trust. They both take a lot of time to build. We have to be relationship-based, small group-driven, and discipleship-oriented. Just look at the way Jesus focused on his 12 disciples. There were times when he would go and minister to thousands, and I'm sure that was very exciting, and it was a great atmosphere. But where did he primarily spend his time? It was with the 12. Because those thousands, they were just there for a meal or for a healing, but they lacked real commitment. You know, to be honest, family is really messy. My family, if you guys have ever spent time with us, we are quite messy. But you can't experience true love outside of the context of family and community, because it's when we're walking together and learning to have to forgive each other and accept each other for who we are, that's when we know real love. Otherwise, it's just self-love. You stay away from people that you don't like and you gravitate toward people that can benefit you. That's not really love. If we're honest, sometimes we're going to be around Christians that we don't like. Some people are going to rub us the wrong way, and we're going to have many disagreements. It could even be some theological disagreements. We're going to have differences in a diverse community like this. It's a miracle if we don't fight with one another every once in a while. However, God says that by this, the world will know that we are his disciples, by our love for one another. God gave us the church so that we can practically love one another. 1 John, I'm going to read to you some verses from here. John wrote a lot about love, and he wrote, for instance, that if you can't love your brother who you can see, you cannot love God who you cannot see. And these are some of the most beautiful verses about love. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." In verse 12, you see, he says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, it's effectively as if we're seeing the face of God. When you look to your right and left, you look at the person sitting around you, you can see the face of God in that person, the image of God, when you love that person. What does this look like for us? Going back to Pastor David, he shared with us the story of how when he first moved to South Korea from North Carolina with his wife, they were, I think, 25 years old, and they were ministering to poor college students in the devastating aftermath of the Korean War. And they said they're going to just have an open fridge policy. It was actually his wife, Ellen, who instituted that policy. So he said, oh, really? He was kind of maybe a little bit less willing to do that, but they did that. And sure enough, these hungry students would come and just take from the fridge whatever they wanted to eat. And it was not easy. But then after a while, what they realized is that those same students would restock the fridge. So it would just come full circle. And then these disciples that they had poured into later bought him a house in Seattle. So when we're called to walk in community, we really have to commit to one another. And he's such an inspiration to me, because even from the first moment that I met him, he was just always just giving things away to students. And whether it's a hat that he was wearing or sunglasses, he would just offer them very freely. So at the same time, we are committed to community, but we have to be committed to discipleship. During our recent Build conference, our regional East Asia director, Pastor Scott Dalma, said something that really challenged me, and I put it on the slide here. He said, if you're not available and submitted, you're part of the problem. He was talking to leaders, okay? So he's saying, you guys are all great leaders, but if you're not growing in discipleship, there's a real risk that you can become a stumbling block to what God has in store. God wants to bring revival, but if the leader is lacking in character, if we have pride and we have selfishness and we fall into scandal or we do things that just really tarnish the reputation of the church, it could really hinder what God wants to do. So how can we prevent that? We need to be more engaged in discipleship. We need to grow and continue to take on kingdom values. Let me share a few words on values. We cannot be Jesus' disciples if we don't value what he values. We need more than just getting people converted and added to the church. We have to go further and help them transform their mindset and their values and their hearts to what God wants. So many people that I meet are Christians. They say they're Christians, but they're, if you talk to them, their life ambition is just a Taiwanese version of the American dream. It's about getting into the top school, making a lot of money, traveling the world, spending, and gaining a great reputation. All these things are good, but those are not necessarily what God wants for you. What God wants for you is to connect you to his greater purpose that would lead to greater joy. We're going to worship what we value. Is Jesus more valuable to you than the things of this world? If we become whole life disciples, where everything in our lives is available to him, then God will transform our vision. He'll transform our purpose. And he'll give us those new desires in our hearts. I know this isn't an easy message, but in every area of our lives, we have to commit to God's calling over us. This means we have to examine what goals do we have in our career, our marriage, our parenting, even in our hobbies and interests. Do I really need to buy that new car or get that bigger house or go on that fancier vacation? Or do I really need to play hours and hours of video games every day? We should all be plugged into a small group of people that can disciple us, love us and accept us, but also challenge us to keep us accountable so that we don't go astray from the best that God has for us. The church has to take on the mindset like an extended family. That means those of us who have more money, we should look to bless, especially our young people who probably have debt or are really struggling. They want to serve God. They want to get trained. They want to go on mission trips perhaps, but they don't have the means to do that, and they're worried about how to catch up with other people. Or for some of our young people who want to go into full-time ministry. You know, if we spent a little bit less on ourselves and put more of our resources, time and effort and money into the kingdom of God, then there would be no poverty or lack in the church. We can be very strategic when we deny our self-interests and say, Lord, how can I best use what you've given me to advance your kingdom? There are some churches around the world that spend more than 50% of their budget on world missions. And I have a hope and desire that our church someday will get to that level, maybe not over 50%, because we're actively reaching Taiwan too, but we're not just going to be focused on our own church or our own city. We're going to look to the nations. We're going to look to bless as many people as we can. We're not looking just to build our own empire, but how can we build on the kingdom of God? As we close, I want to give us a chance to make some commitments to the Lord. First, there's a saying that if somebody puts a circle around them to keep you out, you have to be committed to draw an even bigger circle around them to keep them in. That's the kind of tenacious commitment to community that we need to have to really reflect the kingdom of God. We also need to give each other the permission to challenge us and push us to be our best. There's a football team in Seattle, University of Washington. They had a really bad year. They fired their coach. And the new strength and conditioning coach came in, and what he saw was that the team had the lead in a lot of games, but they blew it in the fourth quarter. What does that reveal? Probably lack of strength and conditioning, lack of stamina. So he came in, but instead of berating these guys and yelling and cussing in their faces, he asked them a simple question. He said, do you want to win? Do you want to be a champion? And when the player said yes, then he asked them, do I have your permission to push you? And they all said yes. And so he will use all these motivational tactics. It's not yelling and cursing, but it could be through humor. It could be through social media. It could be through games. But whatever method works relationally to push these people to be at their very best. And that's the kind of culture we want to cultivate, where everybody buys in to the idea that we want God's very best for every one of us. We don't want anybody to miss out on the greater purposes that he has. So I feel like God is asking the same question for us. Do we want to be great in the kingdom of God? Do we want to win? Do we really want to follow him as his true disciples? Then we need to give each other, and we need to give the Holy Spirit, the permission to push us. like I said, we have about 3-4 months left and the future is coming so fast, whether we realize it or not. In the same way, our destiny is fast approaching. And I was sharing this with the Youth Alpha kids yesterday, that the older you get, the decision-making ability you have to change the course of your destiny gets smaller and smaller. It's when you're younger, or the sooner, the earlier, that you make these commitments to say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to pursue your best for me. That has the greatest chance for determining a radical shift in your destiny. I believe God is challenging some of us. How long are you going to waver with one foot in the world and one foot in God? One foot in the church and one foot just enjoying your own interests. God does not like double-mindedness. If you read the Bible, it's not something he is willing to accept. What he's looking for are people that are wholly devoted to him. I love how Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah asked, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. But as for us, let's not be like these people that say nothing, but be like Joshua, who says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us into community. Thank you that you adopt us into your family and you connect us with your divine purpose. I thank you, Lord, for just all the amazing promises you've given. I pray, Lord, that in this moment, that each of us would make a commitment in our hearts to rededicate our lives to you, that our future is in your hands. We yield control, but we want to trust you, not just with our lips, but with our hearts. We want to worship you with an undivided heart. Lord, I pray that for anyone here who is struggling, who is just wavering with doubt or fear or anxiety or unbelief, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and convict our hearts. Lord, overwhelm us with an encounter of you to see your beauty, glory, and majesty. Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts to take on your values and your mindset. I pray that this community would have such amazing impact in this city and beyond, that we would be making disciples, and that we would actively fulfill the great commission that you've had, that you've called us to. We thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.